Exodus chapter number 33. We'll begin reading verse number 17. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight." Thank God for God's grace. The only reason God does anything for us, through us, by us, or around us is because of His amazing grace. He said, "I know thee by name." Aren't you glad God knows us by name? He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows the intents and thoughts of your heart. Bless God, when you trust in Him, He knows you by name. Look at verse number 18. "And he said, Moses, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, the Lord, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." Let's pray. Father, we certainly thank you for your good grace. Thank you for the privilege of being in the house of God this morning. Thank you for the fellowship of thy people. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have a good Sunday school hour. God, thank you for the great report of the folks that were saved at the jail. God, thank you for a good week of vacation Bible school and all the effort and labor that went into that, that those children might hear about Jesus. God, thank you for the Hope Ministry and those that came out to it. God, I do pray for those that are sick, that God, you'd touch them and help them. Pray for Chief's neighbors, you'd be with them. Pray for Brother Pete in the hospital, you'd touch him and help him. God, I pray for those that are traveling, you'd give them traveling mercies, and God, give them a good time away and refresh them. Help them to come back with their faces pointed towards you like a flint and ready to go to work for Jesus. God, I do pray that, Lord, you'd use Brother Lawrence today to be a blessing to those folks at Valley. God, I pray that if there are any lost in the service, they'd be saved. God, I pray now for our service. Lord, thank you for the good singing by the choir and by the congregation and by Brother James and Miss Renee. Our hearts have been uplifted. They've been blessed. God, we really could leave right now and say we were blessed to get to go to the house of God today. But Lord, I pray you'd put a hedge about us now as it's preaching time. God, I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus over this place. I know the devil'd like nothing better than to divide hearts and disrupt the service and distract people's attention. God, folks that may be low, keep them low. And Lord, I pray for the next few minutes you'd use this unworthy vessel, and God, you'd show up big in our midst. God, you'd strengthen the hands of the feeble and needy, and God, you'd touch the hearts of the lowly, and God, maybe those in the valley, you'd show them you're the lily of the valley. God, I pray there's somebody on the mountaintop, you'd just give them another fresh wind of heaven in their sail to continue to sail and glorify you. Some that, Lord, are looking to get to the mountain, God, I pray you'd help them and lift them up. God, I pray if there's any in our midst unsaved, lost, without God, the sweet Holy Ghost of God through cords of love and the goodness of God would draw them unto repentance. God, I pray that, Lord, you would revive your people both in body but more importantly in spirit. I pray when we leave, we'd leave rejoicing, singing the praises of God and letting folks know Jesus saves, Jesus satisfies, Jesus sustains, and Jesus is the absolute love of our lives. Now, Father, I pray you'd help us the next few minutes. Lord, bless the reading of thy word. And God, I pray that the message would land where it needs to land and help those it needs to help. God, get glory to your glorious name. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Three things as introduction. We see, first of all, the request of Moses. Moses, in verse 18, asked the Lord, he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now we see the response of God to his asking. Can I say, the Lord says, you have not because you ask not. Amen. And when you do ask, you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. If you ask for God, for something from God that is just for the gratification of your flesh, you're not going to get an answer. But if you seek God with a humble heart, seeking Him and seeking something that He'll be glorified in, He will answer. And we see that He answers Moses. And look what He says in verse 19. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. So he clarifies what Moses asked. Can I say, there are sometimes you call on God and it don't come out right. There are sometimes you say words, but your heart means something else. But I'm glad the sweet Holy Spirit can interpret what's in our hearts. There's sometimes you pray, you don't even have words, but God knows the intents of your heart. We see Moses says, show me thy glory. And God just expounds on what he really wants to say. Moses wants to see the face of God. Now, can I help you with something this morning? If you're here today saved by the good grace of God, you can take refuge in the face. One day we will see Him as He is. John says, we don't know what it shall be, but we know that when He appeareth, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Hallelujah, there's coming a day. We'll see Him. Now we have an account in Scripture where three people saw the glorified Christ, and all three of them fell before His face as dead men. I've heard people say, when I see the Lord, I'm going to go put my arms around Him. No, you're not. You're going to fall before Him. Because when you see Him in His majesty, you will not be able to contain how awesome He really is. We see the request. We see the response. He says, no man can see my face and live. But notice the remedy. I'm glad God can work things out. A lot of times it don't make sense to us. But God's got a way. Amen. A lot of times, even when God says no, He still makes a way. Sure. He said, you can't see my face and live. But look at verse 21. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. And thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass that while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. What God says is, Moses, you can't see my face and live. No man can see me and live. Your flesh would melt off the bones if you saw me in my glory. Because these old sinful fleshly natures can't behold God in His holiness. Amen. He said, but I tell you what I'm going to do. There's a place by me. Now, you're going to stand on a rock, and I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock, and then I'm going to come by, and I'm going to put my hand over the cleft of the rock so you can't see my face. But then when I pass by, I'm going to remove my hand, and you'll see my hinder parts. What he says to Moses is, Moses, you can't see my face, but you can see my glory. And hey, there are times I long to see Him, and oh, one day we will. But right now, even though we can't see Him, I'm glad every now and then He shows us His glory. Every now and then when there is no way, He makes a way. Every now and then when it looks like there's no hope, He walks in. Every now and then He just shows and manifests His presence so real that His glory takes over. But I want you to notice the spiritual application of this. He said, there is a place by me. Who's seated at the Father's right hand? Jesus. He said, "Thou shalt stand upon a rock." Who is the Rock of Ages? So there's a place by Him, and who sits there is Jesus. And He says, Jesus is the Rock of Ages. When Jesus gave up the ghost on Calvary, that centurion took a spear and thrust it in his side because he didn't believe he was dead. All that flowed out was water and blood. Hey, can I say the rock got cleft in the side? And can I say something? You and I, even though we can't see God, if we'll put our faith in Him, in the one who's by Him, and the one who's a rock. David said, "I was in a horrible pit, and I called upon the Lord, and He reached down and He pulled me up and He set me on a rock." Hallelujah. And He said He put praise unto God on my lips, and He established my goings. I'm here to tell you, when you put your faith in the Lord, the one that's by Him, He puts you on a rock. Hey, and that rock was cleft for you and I. And He not only puts you on the rock, He puts you in the rock. I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. Hallelujah. Hey, what's in the cleft of the rock? That's up by His heart. I'm glad I have His heart today, and He has my heart today. And I'm glad I'm covered by His hand. He said, "I'm in His hand, and His hand's in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck me out of His hand." I'm glad there's no escape route from my rock. I mean to stay. Hallelujah. Hey, but every now and then, He just removes His hand, lets a little trouble come our way, that we might see His glory. Now, I want to preach with God's help this morning on this thought. A dark place leads to God's glory. A dark place leads to God's glory. He told Moses, "There is a place by me." And can I say that dark place may get you as close to God as you could ever get? But dark places lead to glory. Now, let me say something about dark places. A dark place may seem to be a hopeless place. Did you ever get in the midst of something you thought, it's hopeless? Appears dismal. You can't find a way to find any hope. Now, it's one thing if you get an unexpected bill and you can call somebody and borrow the money, or call the bank and borrow the money, but when you get in a hopeless place, there ain't nobody to borrow the money. You wonder how you're going to get out of it. It's one thing if the pollen count gets high and your sinuses get to running and you go to the doctor and he gives you an over-the-counter drug and you could have saved a doctor visit, And it addresses the symptoms a little bit, but, you know, in time you get better. Right. It's the other thing when you go to the doctor and he says, "It's out of my hands." I'm talking about a hopeless place. It's dismal. Can I say it can be a dangerous place? Because when you get in a hopeless situation, you're tempted to quit and give up. Amen. What separates people who inspire us and people that you never learn their names, those who inspire us in hopeless situations never give up. Can I say this? That hopeless place, you get there, you may feel like you're in too deep. Amen. You'll never see the light of day again. Just remember, a dark place leads to God's glory. Amen. Not only can dark places be hopeless places, they can be helpless places. Amen. In a dark place, it may appear there's no end. It will never be over. Can you go back in your mind in a situation where you thought you would never, ever get out of it? Where are you sitting today? Huh? You're not there. Now, some of you may be in a helpless place today, and you think there is no end. I got good news. There is light at the end of the tunnel. But when you're in that helpless place, it's dark. Appears there's no end. Appears there's no escape. No way out. When you're in that dark place, it even appears there's no empathy. How many times have you been somewhere you think nobody cares? Amen. It's an endless place. No way out. You just feel helpless, hopeless. It's dark. Nobody cares. I got news for you. Long before you ever was, there was somebody who went and died for you because they care for you. And his name is Jesus. But when you're in a dark place, it appears helpless. It appears hopeless. Can I say this? A dark place may be a hurtful place. Amen. I was talking with somebody yesterday, raised in a Baptist church, got hurt. He's got a lot of disdain for Baptists. Say, so what'd you try and do? I didn't show him a Baptist. I tried to show him a Christian. I want to tell you, I don't care who you are. If you've been hurt, you're hurt. Pain hurts. I heard Baptist preachers walk around like, you know, pain shouldn't bother you. Well, there's nobody got a red cape on in here. Pain hurts. And can I say, it doesn't take much to remind you of your pain. Miss Nat and I was watching TV last night, and it's all commercial I've never seen. This guy's up late at night, and he's walking through the hallway, and he kicks the sofa table and stubs his toe. Anybody ever stub your toe? There's nothing worse, and it's dark, and kicking something, huh? And everybody's asleep, so you can't scream. You know, you want to scream. You ever been there? I have broken toes because I've kicked things in the dark. One time we was on vacation. All we had was Jordan. He was little. He had a suitcase. It was a little Mickey Mouse suitcase. All it was toys. And the toys we bought him weren't made from China. They weren't made out of plastic. Are you listening? I mean, it was heavy. That thing weighed more than my suitcase. He went in there and got some toys out, left it in the middle floor. Miss Nett needed something. I said, I'll go get it for you. I knew right where it was. Didn't flip on the light. Guess what I kicked? Guess who I wanted to kick? But he's just little. I couldn't kick him, huh? Broke a toe on vacation, huh? That was a terrible vacation. Miss Annette ate something and had an allergic reaction. We had to go to the hospital, and she had to have IV antibiotics. It was a terrible vacation. I'm never going back there again, okay? But I want to say something. When you are, we'll watch that commercial. A guy stubs his toe, and he goes to the refrigerator, hits the refrigerator, and you can see what's in the refrigerator without opening. That's lazy. If you can't do this, oh, no, he hits the screen. Oh, yeah, I want milk. Duh, open it up, lazy bones. You deserve to kick it. Then he goes back and he kicks the thing again. You deserve it because you're lazy. Huh? Flip the light on, you won't see the sofa. You can see the sofa table, not kick it, huh? But when you're hurt, you're hurt. And it seems like once you're hurt, it's easy to get hurt again. He kicked the table again. Seems like once you're hurt, if that wound isn't really healed, it just opens right back up very quickly. A dark place can be a hurtful place. See, when you're hurt, you get bruised. If you're not careful, you can get broken. And if you're not careful, you can just be bleeding internally all the time. Can I say there are a lot of people that don't come to church because they're hurt? They're in a hurtful place. They try everything this world has to offer. They even root for the Bengals. Exactly. And they get no help. They just think life is meant for pain. They try to drown it. They try to get high to get over it. They consume themselves and work and all kinds of, only to when it gets quiet at night, to hurt. Dark place can be a hurtful place. It can be a helpless place. It can be a hopeless place. Can I say this? A dark place can be a hellish place. There is a place called the charred region of the damned, where the souls of those that reject Christ will suffer for all of eternity. But can I say, there's also a hell on earth. There are people who walk amongst us, and there may even be folks in our midst today who came in with a smile, but there's inner turmoil going on. In a hellish place, you feel like you're suffocating all the time. Feel like you just can't breathe. You just can't get over it. It's a struggling place. Have you seen those commercials where people walk around with a smile on a stick and they put it up, but really they're miserable? Amen. They're struggling all the time. Can I say, God did not intend for us to live in that state. He said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Yeah. Yet there is a hellish place that if you're not careful, you get there, it's dark. Those in that hellish place are just saturated and inundated with thoughts of disappointment, thoughts of doom, even thoughts of death and taking their own lives. I've heard Baptist preachers talk and preach like if you face a dark place, it's because you're not saved, or you're not right with God, or you have mental illness. No, Joker, you got the mental illness. Amen. Job says man's days are few and full of trouble. There are dark places that anybody is subject to. Amen. Can I help you with something? Yeah, there are dark places that may seem hopeless and helpless, hurtful, and even hellish. I don't know about you, there's been times I felt like I was carrying the devil around on my back. Do you ever have the devil tell you he's a loser and why do you keep going to church and why do you keep trying to tell people about Jesus? Right. Mm. Amen. But Jesus said he's a liar and the father of it. But can I say this? Dark place does lead to God's glory. There is a holy place. Look again, verse 21. And the Lord said, if God said it, you can take it to the bank. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. There is a holy place. Can I say, John chapter number 1 says this, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the rock by Him, by the way. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. I'm here to tell you, there is a light for your darkness. And that light brings life. And His name is Jesus. And listen to what verse 5 says. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In other words, when the light shows up, the darkness has no control over the light, but the light takes care of all the darkness. Can I say the holy place in the presence of Jesus, it dispels all the darkness, all the gloom, all the fear, all the heartache, all the hurt. It dispels itself in the presence of Jesus. Now think about this. God tells Moses, Moses, I'm going to put you in a cleft of the rock. I'm going to put my hand over the rock. We read that, we don't think about that. You know what God's telling Moses? I'm going to put you in a cave. Now I'm going to put my hand over it. Now, I've never been to Mammoth Cave. We keep talking about it, but we've never been down there. And I think we're planning a trip down there sometime soon or something. But listen, they say you go about 2 or 3 miles into Mammoth Cave, and they turn out the lights, that you can feel the darkness. And can I say, that's where Moses is. He's in a dark place. God's hand's over that cave. There is no light. Can you imagine the anxiety? Can you imagine the thoughts running through his mind? God didn't tell him how long he was going to be in there. God didn't tell him when he was going to remove his hand. Listen, you're saved. You know Jesus is Savior. You know you're going to heaven, but you don't know when. We read all them verses and it came to pass. And we thank God it doesn't come to stay, it comes to pass. But how long is it going to take before it passes? Hey, when they was on them boats going over the Sea of Galilee and the waves started coming in and they was worried for their lives. I'm talking about seasoned sailors worried for their lives. They didn't know how long it was going to take for the Lord to straighten things out, or if he'd straighten them out. You get in a dark place, your mind's open to wonder. Amen. He's in a dark place. But I want to tell you something. When that hand removed and he saw the glory of God and the presence of God, all the darkness was gone. Now I want to tell you something. No matter how hopeless, no matter how helpless, when Jesus shows up, hey, hope picks up. Help picks up. He's a present help in time of trouble. No wonder the psalmist said, I'll look unto the hills from which cometh my help. Hey, there's no help in the world. There's no help in AA. There's no help with my problem except from the Lord. He dispels all the darkness. Can I say his presence delivers us from all peril? The safest place you can ever be is right in the presence of God. Can I say whenever he showed up in his glory, I've never had any bad thoughts. Amen. I've never wrung my hands and worried if it's going to work out. Because when he shows up, I'm so enthralled with him, nothing else matters. Can I say his presence diminishes all fear? Now listen. I don't know why God gave me this message on Father's Day, only to say that there's somebody here in a dark place. Brother James sang that song. What do you do when you're faced with those things and you don't think you have anybody to help? But there's nothing greater than God's grace. One will not fully appreciate or comprehend God's glory until they've been delivered from a dark place. Now, friend, I don't care how dark your situation may see. It's no problem for the Master. He's greater than anything you'll ever face. Miss Tammy sings that song about waves being over our head, but they're still under his feet. And can I say there's a verse in Isaiah that says with his arms he bears us up. You may fall, but you can never fall lower than his arms, and he can bear you up. And can I say no matter how dark it may seem, all darkness flees in his presence. You know what happens in heaven? There is no darkness. He's the light of the city. There's no need of sun or moon because he's there. He's the light. And he'll be the light in your darkness if you'll open up your heart and you'll let him. You may be here today and you may be lost. You may think there is no hope for me. Hogwash. Jesus died just for you. And Jesus said if any had come to him, he'd no wise cast him out. The Apostle Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners, and if God could save him, God would save anybody. Huh? The Bible says God's no respecter of persons. That means if God saved me, if God saved other folks, he'll save you. The only thing keeping you lost is you. Jesus done paid your price. He died according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again according to the Scriptures. He commissioned his church to preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came seeking to save that which was lost. And if you need rescue, friend, he's the one that rescues. He's the Redeemer. He'll save your never dying soul if you're willing to repent and put your faith in him. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved today if you're lost.
That's right.
Maybe you're here today and you're lost. You can be saved. You can be delivered from the darkness that you're in. See, the Bible talks about the god of this world, talk about Satan, seeks to blind the minds of them that would hear the gospel. He wants to keep you in darkness.
Sure he does.
But Jesus wants to bring you into his marvelous light through preaching of the glorious light of the gospel.
Yeah.
If you're here today and you're saved, you might be in a dark place. Didn't intend to get in a dark place. Wasn't looking for a dark place. You may come to church every time the doors open. You may read your Bible every day. You may talk to the Lord every day, but you just feel like you're in a dark place. You know what will overcome your feeling of darkness? Faith in the light.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Lord.
You just got to put your faith in Him again. He may keep you in that dark place for a little while, but it might not even be about you. Somebody might just be wanting to see what God will do with you in your dark place. And then when He shines on you, He may impact others because of you. But don't lose hope. The Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. It don't matter what you're going through. Jesus is greater. Just
Amen.
Trust Him.
Yes.
And when He shows up, whatever you're going through right now won't even be a memory, because He dispels all the darkness.
Amen.
Now listen, friend. Dark place leads to God's glory. Some of you might be here today and you might be sick. You don't understand why you're sick and why you had to go through the sickness. But I promise when God reveals His glory, you'll say it was worth it.
Sure.
The Bible says the sufferings of this present time shall not be worthy of the glory which shall be revealed in us. It won't even be a memory when God reveals His glory. You'll say it was worth the suffering. Listen, when a mama's got a newborn baby, she'll tell you, having the baby wasn't no fun, but the results were worth it. Some of them even lose their mind and have more. When God shows up big in your life and does something in your life, you'll say, it was not only worth going through the dark place, but God, if you got another dark place, I'll go through that too. Huh? Just to see your glory.
Amen.
Listen, said all that, say this, there's hope, there's help.
Amen.
There's a balm of Gilead for your hurt.
Right.
And He's done conquered death, hell, and the grave.
Yeah. Right.
There is a holy place, and His name is Jesus.
Amen.
And He invites all to come to Him. Just like He let Moses see His glory, He's got glory to show you, if you're willing to turn your eyes to Him. Let's all stand. Brother Ray, come get a song of invitation. While they're coming, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we sure do love You. God, I hate it when folks have to go through things, but it's worth it when they see Your glory. Lord, there might be some folks in a dark place, but I pray You give them a little glimpse of glory. Long before Moses got to see the full glory, when you started lifting your hand, he got little glimpses of it. And so, God, I pray You'd give them a little glimpse. Maybe somebody's ripe to come out of their darkness. God, You just show them Your glory. God, maybe some of here today is lost without God. I pray for them. Lord, I know You love them. I know You'd save them if they'd come. So I pray that, Lord, the sweet Holy Spirit would just woo them. Let them know they're amongst people who care about them. Nobody's here to judge them. And God, I pray they'd come and give their heart and life to Jesus. Maybe somebody's dealing with something they just can't get over, get by, or get around. I pray they'd come get some help from Jesus. Lord, You can break the bondage. You can break the chains if they're willing to give You first place in their life. Now, God bless. Help folks in this invitation. We'll thank You for it. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.